Before we read our text this morning, I want to do two things. One, I want to thank the worship team and to a couple of you that smiled while you were singing, I will say thank you. It meant a lot to me, and it helped to look away from the others that didn't smile. You know, it shouldn't hurt. This is a warning, this is a word to the wise. It makes a big difference how we do it, not what we do also. Thank you very much for that. The second thing I want to say is we heard several things in here. I want to just say, several weeks ago, when Brother Al knew that he was going to be traveling, he asked me would I cover for him today. And I immediately responded, yes, Brother Al, I would be glad to do it. Because as he was talking, God had given me already what to say. And I'm going to say to all of us who teach and who preach, watch what is being said today. Because I sat here for several weeks, not only here, we were traveling also, and I have not heard the word cross very often in any of the sermons. We talk about wisdom of the, we talk about other things. It's the cross that makes the difference. The power of love is in the cross. That is love. At the cross, visibly shown to all of us. And how we relate to that cross makes an eternal difference for all of us. We all need to humble ourselves before the cross. The message of the cross is that God laid our iniquities upon Jesus Christ, and He paid it. Without complaint, He paid it. Like the scriptures say, the joy that he had in his heart, for the joy that he had, he went to the cross. He endured the cross because he had joy in his heart to do it. And beloved, today, I want to ask that before we open God's Word, and I want to open up to 1 Corinthians. In fact, we can do it right now. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verses 17 through 25. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And when you have it, look up and we'll have a prayer. I still hear some papers shuffling. All right, let's pray. Lord, the message of the cross has been to those that perish foolishness, but unto us who are saved, it is the power of God unto everlasting life. And we thank you for that. We ask that your blessing might be upon the reading of thy word, and as we would share it also, Lord, take the words weakly spoken and translate them into meaningful terms, that it would touch each of our hearts, that it would affect each of our decisions that we make on a daily basis, beginning right now. We thank thee for the songs that our young people sang, particularly the last one that said that we are to come. We're to come as we are. In fact, there is no other way to come but as we are. Because, Lord, you know who we are. You've made us, you've created us, and you've brought us this far, and we're thankful for it. We ask your blessing on it, and we do it in the name, in the most wonderful name ever given to man, the name Jesus Christ, that brings joy to our heart, brings hope to our life, brings joy in all things we do. To your glory and honor. Amen. Verse 17 in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 says, Christ sent me, and I'm going to abbreviate this a bit, Christ sent me to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require signs, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, to the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. The cross, the power of the cross. We already defined it by saying it is the love that He has, it's the power of love, the cross. Foolishness to the world. We see it all over, however, do we not? And it, we see it when I think about it. Not so long ago, I was watching a baseball game, and this man came up and he had a cross dangling on his chest as he was hitting the ball. I know there are places out in the country. I drive by and I see crosses. I see them on churches. I see them in cemeteries. I see them on hillsides. Crosses are everywhere, are they not? In some places it's not legal right now. That's because of this, quote, wisdom of the world. Because the cross, wherever it is, it has a message. An unmistakable message. It is probably the most recognized sign across the world. Unmistakable. Many of the other religions have their symbols. I'm thinking of the sickle and the hammer. I'm thinking of some others right now. But the cross has a particular message. Every time you look at a cross, it is convicting because it represents a message, because it has something to say that is contrary to men's thinking. And I will say to all of us this morning here, there are some of you are on the wrong side of the cross. Some of you would rather think in the wisdom of this world and go to hell than to repent of your sins and acknowledge that Jesus Christ did this for us. It's unfortunate, but it's true. It's the power of love. It's the visible power that God put out there so that all of us would see, and those of us who preach, we would point at the cross and say, this is the cross that paid the price, that had the only purpose was our salvation. And Jesus Christ came and voluntarily submitted himself to that. It is this. So what is the power of the cross? The power of the cross is this, that Jesus Christ became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. That's the power of the cross, that Jesus Christ did it. That's the wisdom of God. That's the glory of God. That's the purpose behind it. That He took our sin upon him. God said it in very, you know, the scriptures are very clear, starting with Genesis. Starting with Genesis, I'm thinking there were two people in the Garden of Eden, transgressed. And what does God do? God goes and he kills a lamb. We don't read it this way. We read that he took some skins, you know, of some animals and covered them. You know what animal that was? The Bible doesn't say this, but I'm convinced it was a lamb. It was a lamb that gave its life so that Adam and Eve could have coats to cover themselves because they were naked before God, because they had sinned, because they had transgressed. And so God chose, and a lamb gave its life. A picture of the Lamb of God that comes later and takes away the sins of the world. And young people, when you sing these songs, can I give you a little bit of advice? I would appreciate it. When we sing about, we quote Lord, Lord, Lord. You know he has a name? Did you know he has a name? You knew that. Put his name in when you can. The world is ashamed of Christ. They don't want to talk because that's not in. That's not politically right or not correct. No, it is correct. It is the only correct response. It's Jesus Christ. He became the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. He alone, no one else. There is none else, no one else, the scriptures clearly tell us. If you go back into Genesis, where we started a few moments ago, not only did he give his life, did the little lamb give its life when Adam and Eve transgressed, but then when God made Eve, you know, remember what he did? He opened up his side. That is a picture of what would happen to our Lord Jesus Christ. He opened his side up of Adam and took out of there, King James calls it a rib. It was more than a rib. It was actually the side. But blood was shed there also. And it's a picture of what he would do. It was a picture of the cross. It was a picture of the simplicity that God will provide himself. And well, that brings us to Genesis 22, where God talked to Abraham, and Abraham was asked to go up on a mountain and sacrifice his son, his only son. And he goes up. And he ties up his own. And we have a picture there too. One of the things that was the shame in the cross was carrying your own cross up to Golgotha, like Jesus did through the streets of Jerusalem. And they could mock him, and then some did. Some were compassionate, but most were not. Abraham's son Isaac carried the wood up the hill, if you remember, up Mount Moriah. A picture of what would happen. That Jesus would one day, that it would be this cross. It would be that wooden cross. What happened there then? Abraham did not have to slay his son. No. The scriptures say that an angel came and withheld. Abraham didn't have to do it. He said, God will provide himself a lamb. And it was this lamb that has a name, this lamb that's called Jesus Christ. It was this. He is that one. If I go through some of the others, Jacob's ladder and so forth, the serpent raised in the wilderness and all of these things, there are the things that also have pictures. There are a number of pictures in the Old Testament that portray the price. The price would be in the power of the cross. That would transform every one of us. Everyone that believes. Everyone that believes the gospel. And with this, we are charged, those of us who preach the gospel, we are to preach the gospel. And the gospel is this, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. But the believing comes believing in him that died on the cross, that was provided by God as a gift for us, because God so loved the world. If we look at the picture, and going down, when we were going up to Windsor here a couple weeks ago, Jeremy and Darla, you took us, and there was that one place I saw the three crosses standing together. You know what the three crosses stand for? There's only one picture that represents wherever that's seen, right? And the middle cross is painted a different color. It's gold. The outside, there. There's one on each side, illustrating what's happening to this very day, wherever the gospel is preached, including here. There are those that are on the outside. There are those. There's the one on the one side that says, "Remember me," turning to Jesus. "Remember me when we come into when." And Jesus told him that he would remember that very day he would be still with him, would be with him in paradise. The other man we don't read about. That's the picture of the cross. The center cross, however, is highlighted. It's highlighted in those pictures that I saw in when we were driving up, I think it was up the turnpike, it was there. It's the visible sign of the gospel. Here it says, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. You see, in Corinth, where this was written to, we are very aware, those of us who study the Bible, we are aware that Corinth was a place where they loved to show off wisdom, what they knew. And they would, in fact, we have a section of it that talks about Mars Hill, where they did all day long was go there and dispute, argue, present different things, different thoughts. They loved wisdom, and we have this here. This is no different than today. People today love wisdom, including me. I like to know things, and when I know things and I have something, I have a hard time not telling somebody when they do. I know something, and of course now I've learned a little bit more. I'm a little bit older, and so sometimes I say it anyway. And you can read the mind. Says, why don't you keep your, whatever, to yourself? But it's always been the case. And it's always the case, particularly when it comes to redemption, when it comes to salvation. There are so many ideas out there, so many people telling them, we are right. I am right. You're wrong. You can't be right. Or they prefer whatever they prefer. Heard an argument not so long ago about the King James Version versus another one. I thought both need to go back and just read the Word. Doesn't matter what you read. If both of it is convicting, both of it, it doesn't really matter. Oh, there are some translations that are not right, I think. But if you magnify the cross, the gospel, the fact that God gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, he is the one that is portrayed on the cross. And it was to the Jews a stumbling block. I think that's what we said, wasn't it? The Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks, foolishness. Stumbling block. Stumbling block means it's something that it was just too simple. And you know what? I have said this before. I am glad the gospel is simple. I would never have understood it. I would never have repented. Because I'm not very smart. A lot of things go over my head. I don't know, I had to ask whether this thing was on, this little, this thing that they have. Because I don't know how to turn it on. But they also, there's somebody who knows how to turn it on and somebody knows how to turn it off. And so before I'm done, if you don't like something, they'll probably turn it off. because I'm not very smart. The wisdom of this world says the preaching of the cross is foolishness. I can do my own. I see our little grandchildren come to our house, 3 and 4 years old, and the mom says, come over here, I'll put your coat. I can do my own. Well, they say this when they're 50 years old, or they're 30. He was 3. Then they're 30 or 300 years old, they're still there. I can do it on my own. Back here in this trash bin, we had an illustration for the sermon this week. Got a phone call from, who was it, Cindy, I think, telling me there's a raccoon caught in there. Sure enough, I came here, well, actually, this is the second time the raccoon was here, yes. I came here, there he is. I open up the lid, looking at me, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. I didn't know what was going to happen, but I know he can't get out, because he would have gotten out if he were. And so, you know, here a little bit of the conversation. I think it was with you, Cindy. I don't see you right now. Where are you? Raise your hand. Wherever. She says, Dad, you know, those animals are smart. They know how to get in there. Yeah, they are smart. But they're not smart enough to get out. Smart enough to get in, but not smart enough to get out. That's the average person today. Smart enough to commit sin, but not smart enough to know what to do about it, or how to cure, or how to handle a broken marriage, or how to handle a situation that is out of control, or how to whatever. That's the average person today. So I went back there yesterday, and there he opened up. He's sitting in the corner. Nice. I don't know if it's a male or a female. I can't tell a difference. He looked kind of cute the way he looked at me, so it may have been a female. So I took the lid and I popped it down. You know, apparently the wind had opened it up and so forth. So I slammed the door, you know, and he had covered his eyes with one of his paws, and probably resigned himself to whatever will happen. Thinking, maybe, like an average person today that rejects the call of Christ, that if I cover my eyes, somehow it's going to go away. Well, to make a long story short, the second time this week I went back there, I got a piece of lumber, I stuck it in there, opened the door, and left. Within an hour, guess what happened? He went to visit his loved ones, wherever those are. That's the illustration. And I thought to myself, you know, he had covered his eyes, and I went back there at least 3 times, maybe more. You know, and every time he heard me coming, he looked, and he covered his eyes real quick. I thought to myself, boy, you're not, if I don't help you out, you are not going to get out. Now, some of you may disagree. I shouldn't have gotten them out, or maybe save them for lunch or something. No. Beloved, all I want to say is if you, any one of us, thinks there is some other way to be saved besides through the cross of Jesus Christ, at the place where He shed His precious blood, at the place where sins can be forgiven because He took our iniquity upon Himself. And the prophet Isaiah says, and with His stripes, we are healed. Jesus Christ suffered. We wonder why Job was there. He suffered. We wonder why Paul, the Apostle Paul, he suffered. There hasn't been a man of God that has not suffered and paid the price for choosing the cross. It's a modern phenomenon that says, if I am successful, and it was alluded to earlier, you know, that, you know, the man who is wealthy thinks that he's blessed. No, that's a curse, according to what the scriptures say. In fact, that's what the scripture is saying in James concerning the wisdom of that's from above. It's sensual, it's earthy. It says that those that go that way, they're lost. They're the enemies of God. God loves those that are simple, those that exercise love, justice, mercy. Those are the things that he loves. But where were those examples? They were visibly shown to us at the cross of Christ. See, the cross is a unique instrument that probably the cruelest thing ever devised by man. To nail a man, to lay him down and nail him to a piece of wood and then set it up to watch him die is extremely cruel. But in Christ's case, the scriptures clearly tell us he could have called legions of angels to release him from there. But he didn't do it. It wasn't the nails that kept him to that cross. It was his love for you and me. And that's visibly shown. It was his mercy. It was his grace. It was the joy of knowing that there will be, that he's paying the price that we couldn't pay. We owed, but couldn't pay. He didn't owe, but paid. Because he loved. And that's the power of love. That's the power of the cross. That's the power that is visibly, and that's an affront to the educated, to the many. Here it says, you know, about the wise and the noble and not many of those are called. Why? Because they think they have the answers. Kind of funny a little bit. It's been about 6 weeks ago. Turned the TV on at home and unfortunately, one of our chief politicians in the nations was on the phone. And he was responding to a question. And he said, "Oh, definitely, I believe in law and order." And I had to laugh. The commentator who was not on there, who was later commented, "Yeah, law and order. You make the laws and you order me to keep them." I thought, that's not bad. Even the politicians. That's not God's way. God made the law. The law was not made. This is not the right way to say it. God has a standard. The standard is love, mercy, grace towards us. Because we were lost and helpless. A little bit like that raccoon sitting in a corner, curled up with his paws covering his face. I have 5 points that I wanted to make. I wanted to talk about the picture of the cross. I wanted to talk about that it alone is permanent. The wisdom of this world and all of it will pass away. God's wisdom will not. I wanted to talk about their purpose, that it is for God's glory. I wanted to talk about the power that it is in his love for us, in his shedding of his precious blood, that it was in that the preaching of it rescues us, those that believe. And the last one I wanted to talk about that no flesh should glory in his presence. God says it's the preaching of the cross. The last statement I want to make is, since he became sin for us, the cross illustrates this. And I would like for the group that's going to sing to kind of get ready, because I'm going to be done hopefully in 3 minutes or less. You see, the cross is a voluntary. No one can go and crucify themselves. You cannot go and lay down and pound in all the nails. You can do it on your foot, on your feet. You can do it on one hand, but the other hand you cannot do it. Someone else has to do it. Someone else has to do it. But the cross never loses. Never. Once a victim is on her, he is done or she's done. Cross never loses. That's a picture of God. God never loses. God will win. God will eventually, it is the wisdom of God that'll do it. It's not these smart guys walking around that have come from the ivy-covered halls of higher learning that impress us with their statistics or their books they have written or whatever. Some of them have written more than I have read, which is all right, let them write. Of making many books, there is no end, right? However, the cross is the visible power of God that He took our sins upon Him. And whoever believes this is saved. So, worship team, I applaud you when you said, come just as you are. And I would like to invite the men to come up here and conclude the services. And then Brother Ed will have you come up, we'll have a concluding prayer after they're done.